It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to everybody out there in Sports Daily land. Glad to be here with you. Paul Savage in for Tommy on a Wednesday. We hope you are catching the fever and are rocking your Hawaiian, if at all possible, today to work, to play, whatever it is. Join in the movement. Paul and I have decreed that this is a day for your best Hawaiian. It's a day for parts of the middle of the week. You got to mix things up a little bit. Paul, does Jad have on a Hawaiian right now?
He does not. I'm very, very disappointed in him. In fact, we're going to put him on like a 5-minute probation. Starting now, Jad, you're on probation for 5 minutes.
Let's not do that. Let's stay on the air. Jad, of course, okay. Keeping things running for us. Right. He's got the IHOP hotline for you today, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, and it's all-you-can-eat pancake deal, which runs through September 15th.
Yeah.
We got a big show today coming for you.
Very good.
We appreciate everybody for listening to us on KFH, listening to us on the Odyssey app, also watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, and X. But we have lots of content today as we are into the fall swing of things. We're going to have our KU insider, Shreyas Lada, joining the program at the bottom of this hour to get ready for KU's football opener. Excited about that conversation. Get all caught up on the offseason. All the latest there with KU football. I'll ask him the question Tommy and I have bantered about all offseason on, you know, whether it's fair or unfair to still question Jalen Daniels' health. So we'll get the latest there from Shreyas and what he's hearing and seeing at practice every day. That's coming for you again at the bottom of the hour. Top of the hour, Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, stops by to get us caught up on all the latest with Shocker news. Volleyball's played an exhibition. We continue to rev up for basketball, and there are some, you know, some things happening logistically with the NCAA and rules around the country that we'd like to get his take on. The transfer rules are perhaps changing a little bit. So we'll do that with Kevin Saul, top of the next hour as well. It is the day after Chiefs cut day, which is obviously significant because they had some key decisions to make, a few surprises, a few we wondered about, and a few that we expected. But we'll take a look at that as it comes to the Chiefs roster, as they're now a week and a day away from opening the season. And we'll talk about the Royals. Three straight now for Kansas City. Winners over the Guardians, tied for first place. A rain delay smack in the middle of the game last night. If you stayed up late and caught the end of it, you know that the Royals ended another one and have a chance now for a sweep of the Guardians in Cleveland. How about that, Royals fans? We'll get into all of it throughout the show today. Your calls and comments are welcome with it as well. We'll have two giveaways for you today. Music fans, we'll get you a chance to see Cody Jenks at Entrust Bank Arena. That's coming up in a little bit. And we'll get you some HTO, free iced tea and free rain coffee. So, a lot of reasons to be with us today. We're glad you are. Paul, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Ready for another Hawaiian Wednesday. It's really becoming a part of my life. It's what I look forward to. It gives me a reason to get up on Wednesday morning. So, you know, really and truly, join the movement, everybody. It's liberating.
It is. It's always feels good to let everybody know you're ready for a party. All right, Paul, let's start with cut day. And we'll get to Royals fans. Don't fret. We'll get lots on the Royals today, too. But let's start with cut day.
All right.
I think the most surprising to me, and maybe it's not surprising to everybody, was that Lucas Niang did not make it. They are going with some younger players there. So that was the first one that caught my attention. The most talked about was the decision on Kadarius Toney, and they do not keep Kadarius Toney, which is not a surprise at all. It was just, we wondered, A, how many receivers are they going to keep? And B, would they chisel out that role for Kadarius Toney, which I'm fairly convinced at the beginning of this offseason, they had one chiseled out for him and he just did not have a good, you know, camp/preseason. So the receivers now, Rashi Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Justin Watson. We knew those five would be in. Then the question became, would they keep six or seven? Which of those guys would they keep? Well, they keep both Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman. So they are going to roll with seven. And probably those last two are going to be relegated to special teams, I would imagine. They traded for a tight end, Paul, Peyton Hendershot from the Cowboys, right before the cuts came. So they'll carry seven wide receivers and four tight ends.
Correct. That's what's that right now.
That's 11 pass catchers, which is fairly interesting. So, okay, where is it thin? Well, they're only going to carry two quarterbacks. They're only carrying Mahomes and Wentz. They let Book and Olodokun go back. I don't think that is surprising because they can do that, and they have done that in the past. Three running backs only, as Denarik Prince does not make it. I wondered if they'd only roll two out there, but they do keep Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Carson Steele, the story of the preseason, does make the roster. I am fully convinced that he will be the backup to Isaiah Pacheco. They are clones of each other in a lot of ways. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire is more of a safety piece. Otherwise, you know, a lot of names on the defensive side that, you know, the beats and the bloggers and everybody are way into of the headliner guys, though I think we have it covered there. What did you think of some of the Chiefs roster decisions?
Well, I like the fact you're keeping Carson Steele. That gives the, you know, I've always said that the ability to have somebody that you can play power football with is always good for every football team. Not everybody believes that, though. You know that, Jacob. You know, we live in a world of spread the field out, right? That's what we believe in nowadays. But I like the fact that Carson Steele is on this football team. It gives you a chance to run power off tackle, a little bit of ISO. It makes defenses have to line up in a more honest way. So I do like that. I'm not surprised at Toney. I'm not surprised that he was cut. You know, he hasn't been the same receiver as he was, say, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe?
2 years
ago. Let's say 2 years. That's fair enough. But I'm not surprised he didn't make this team. I think that was smart. I don't have a problem with much of a problem at this point. My only question is the four tight ends. That's a little unusual. Usually you don't see that. But on the other hand, you know, what Kansas City does with their tight end is a traditional tight end, as you well know. You know, Travis Kelce gives you a chance to line up in so many other formations. I mean, Travis Kelce is more than just a guy that lines up at tight ends. He lines up in the slot. He lines up in the backfield. He lines up in the Z. He lines up in the A. He lines up anywhere on the field, and he's used with a variety of routes. So I guess my only surprise, you know, I guess I'm not surprised. I've just talked myself into not being surprised because, you know, you do so much more with that position with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not going to say much more, but a lot more than I would say the average NFL team. So I don't have any surprises really on offense. It kind of came down to where we thought it would be, didn't it? I mean, no surprises. I mean, we're not surprised about Toney. We're not surprised that he was cut.
No.
Not at all. I'm not. Maybe some are, but I'm
not. No. I don't think anybody's surprised by it. It's more of what decision, which direction were they going to go? I
mean, right. Okay. Fair enough.
He did everything he could to be cut.
Fair enough.
It was just, and look, there was no pressure for the Chiefs to keep him.
No.
Anybody that says they gave up too much to get him, it's like, guys, they won two straight Super Bowls. Okay, they obviously did not. Right. He was a big part of one of them.
Yeah, it seemed like the thing to do at the time, didn't it?
Well, it's fine. You can. That's the luxury you get if you're Brett Veach is to be risky. Patrick Mahomes affords you the ability to be aggressive and risky. He does.
That's well Look, said. That, the Frank, that's accurate.
The Frank Clark trade. For what they gave up and what they paid him, he did not live up to that, but he gave them massive playoff moments, right? So he helped them win Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So did they give up too much, and did he live up to the contract in totality? Probably not. I would say no, but he helped them win a couple of Super Bowls. Yeah, so, that's fine. Yeah,
sure.
Orlando Brown gave up too much. Was he as good as, you know, what? No, but he helped them win a couple of Super Bowls. So fine, who cares? And the same thing happens. Sky Moore, moderately high draft pick, didn't work. Fine, who cares? He's been on the rosters of two Super Bowl teams. Same with Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney's been a much larger factor, both positively and negatively, than Sky Moore has. But he wasn't working out now. Like, there's no, a lot of teams, I think, in those moments feel the pressure. Like, we invested a lot in this guy. We got to kind of see it through. The Chiefs don't have to do anything. They've won two straight Super Bowls. All they need to do is win their third Super Bowl. If they don't feel like Kadarius Toney can help them do that, then it's an easy decision. I don't know how easy the decision has been and for how long. I don't think they entered this, Paul, preseason thinking Kadarius Toney was not going to be a part of the roster, but he didn't perform, and fine. And he'll probably find a spot if he already has, and I haven't checked, because he's got some abilities and some unique talents that only he can provide. It just isn't going to be in Kansas City right now. And it's no big deal. They keep seven. Mecole Hardman, I would assume this means he's a return man. I don't know what the role is, although they've mentioned that they like Sky Moore in special teams. So maybe that's his role. I still hope he is able to, you know, develop further and become something for this team. But it was Lucas Niang that surprised me probably the most. Now, maybe he was always a possibility there, but, you know, depth on the line, experience, veteran depth is paramount. But I think if we look back at this entire offseason and they're this comfortable with Kingsley Suamataya at left tackle, the rookie, that could be a home run pick, Paul. To have an affordable left tackle for at least 4 years, if he's the guy, is going to allow a lot of flexibility. They have thrown tons of money, tons of draft capital, everything they can to try and solve that. Mm-hmm. If they indeed did with a second-round rookie, that will end up being the most significant thing they probably did all offseason long. Mm-hmm. No matter what these talented receivers they brought in do, if you've got Mahomes' blind side solved with a second-round rookie, that will be a major coup for the Chiefs.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, after all, it's such an important position. But by the way, it's such an important position they named a movie after it with Sandra Bullock, you know? So it's really, really, I mean, the importance of that particular position is incredible. And you're right. If this ends up taking and he becomes serviceable, and more than serviceable, if he becomes really good and stays fairly injury free, that is a huge pickup for a second round draft pick. Man, that's not bad, is it? That is not bad at all. So let's see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. There's going to be a learning curve, though. You understand that. There's going to be more because, well, first of all,
that's why I was surprised they let Niang go.
Yeah, well, part of the thing about being Patrick Mahomes, having that quarterback, you're the one protecting him, is that he creates so much in the pocket. He does so many things that sometimes it's hard to know just quite where he is at that time, what he's doing, what's on his mind, what he's seeing downfield, what he's seeing defenders do. Let's face it, Patrick Mahomes is a very, very difficult quarterback to be
to block for, sure.
That's right.
But you've got to create some synergy. And Mahomes knows that. Mahomes does that intentionally. He knows that he's putting himself at risk as far as the left tackle goes when he makes those types of decisions. But it the idea of being consistent and potentially good at left tackle for 4 years,
based on
what the Chiefs have gone through to get, I mean, remember. You know, remember the Buccaneers Super Bowl loss where Mahomes was under siege. Then you had Orlando Brown come in and all the contract disputes. And he was fine, but he was never as good as he wanted to get paid for, at least in the Chiefs' mind, right? He ended up getting paid, and that's okay. And then, you know, you bring in Juwan Taylor with the thought that he can make the conversion. He doesn't. He's never even played left tackle for them. Donovan Smith was serviceable last year, but not good. So now they go again and they try to attack again. High draft pick. If it works, it will be the most significant thing they've done. So we can talk more about the roster cuts, your thoughts on them out there on the IHOP hotline. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Royals before we get some back-to-back insiders and guests coming up for you on the show today. Let's give away some HTO in the first hour today. So we have 20-plus flavors of iced tea, free sweet and unsweet. You'll get a free iced tea and... you'll get a free iStore hot coffee featuring Free Rain Coffee, now featuring the fall flavors, the all-new fall flavors, Dirty Chai Apple Crisp or Butter Pecan Mocha. So you can get one of those and try them out. All you got to do to win is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. We'll get you a winner there. We'll have Cody Jinks concert tickets to give away in the second hour. Stick around. Little Royals talk coming your way next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in. Boy, Savage Paul, I mean, Tom doesn't know what he's missing out on. It's just on the party that has become Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays with Paul Savage in for Tommy Caster.
Thank you.
If you need to see the collection, you can go back and watch the show on the 12 News Connected app in the past. You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app. We appreciate it however it is that you take in the show. I know the podcast form. Look, if you're into podcasts, if you're just driving around and you can't listen to us the whole time, Jad puts these up on the Odyssey app. You can podcast the entire show. It's fantastic. I love consuming things that way on your time. All right, Paul, let's talk Royals last night. 6-1 win, third straight against the Guards, tied for first place now. Got to love baseball, right? You got to love baseball. If I told you, Paul, that in the first three games of this series, the start two different starting pitchers would leave the games early because of injury. If I told you they would have to lean on the bullpen a tremendous amount in this series, the other start you got wasn't particularly good out of your starter. It had been a bullpen-heavy series, and they would have won all three of the first games. You'd have called me crazy, especially coming in.
Well, of course I would have called you crazy.
Right. But the bullpen last night. So Michael Lorenzen tweaked his hamstring in the game on a defensive play. And in comes Carlos Hernandez, who did a pretty nice job. Pretty nice job. 2 1/3, gave up a run, but he navigated it, inherited some stuff. And then you had the rain delay. And after the rain delay, Paul, you got five no-hit innings out of the bullpen. Five. Including two of them from James MacArthur, who, again, it's a little dicey, but his stuff is electric. He struck out four batters in two innings. So I really hope he can find his form a little bit and continue to do that. Long continues to be really good. Schreiber continues to be good. And then Chris Stratton with a big lead came in, and it was good to see him give a clean inning. He's probably not going to factor in into high leverage things the rest of the way, but it's been the bullpen largely, Paul, that has given this team the boost in this series. And coming into the series, we were largely concerned about that particular group, but because of some flexibility on the roster, because of a doubleheader and some other things, they've got some reinforcements there. And now we're starting to see some, you know, some positive things. It's all about, do they have enough of them to get them down the stretch? When we get to the postseason, we know it's going to shrink down to three, maybe four guys that the Royals will likely ever use out of their bullpen. And I think they have that many, but they still got to get there because their starting pitching is not been great lately. These are good signs, not especially because it's coming against the Guardians in Cleveland. That part's obvious. So I love it. It was another fun win if you're a Royals fan, and they're doing it in ways that we haven't really seen them do it this year.
Didn't see it coming, though. I didn't see 75 and 58. I'm looking at the box score right now as we speak. Kansas City Royals 75 and 58. Cleveland Guardians 75 and 58. It's almost like it's magic. You know, it was just 2 weeks ago. In fact, it was last week we talked about, well, you know, we got to keep an eye on the wild card. We're in good shape for the wild card. We, you know, there's an excellent chance. And now we're talking about winning the division. I mean, This is just what an amazing amount of football, of baseball that is still left to be played. And there's a lot. And in the world of baseball, this is a lot of baseball. You know, still a whole month to go. We'll see what happens. But, man, wouldn't that be something if – I mean, would you have ever predicted, if we'd have been talking this time 1 week ago, that coming out of this particular series with Cleveland, that the Royals could be leading the division? I think if you would have said that to me on air, I would have had to say, are you nuts?
A week ago, maybe. But you needed some help from Cleveland, yeah. And they're getting it. You know, they're getting that help from Cleveland. Minnesota is falling back. Paul, right now, the Royals are 2.5 games clear of the Twins, mm-hmm. which is handy. They're 4 games clear of Boston. Don't look now, but Detroit is actually on fire. They've won 5 in a row. They're above 500. They have become very much a player. Tampa won't go away. They're 6 games back in Seattle. Continues to let their fans down. They're 5.5. But the reality is the Royals are now. So you want to, of course, be ahead of Cleveland. But it's all the positioning matters. This year in baseball, it's never been this tight top to bottom. There's not going to be a 100-win team. Like it's been very... you know, spread out this year. The Royals are just 2 games clear of that top wild card spot. They're just 2 games back there. So the number of paths opening for the Royals to reach the postseason is growing a great deal, right? Whether it's by winning the division, whether it's by being the last wild card spot, the second wild card spot. And now through this, the first wild card spot is coming back into play just like the division is. So that's what you like to see with all of this, is that there for a little while, you know, within the last even month, it was like, okay, they've got to just be able to get that last wild card spot. That's the goal. That's the focus. But now you've opened it up to, you can get any of the 3 wild card spots, or you can win the division. So it basically went from 1 spot we thought might be available to now 4. And as they continue this tough part of the schedule, that is what you want to see out of this team. Now we're cooking to get this team into the postseason. Now we can begin to think again about what a postseason roster might look like and all of these things. And, you know, the offense continues to be ahead of the starting pitching at the moment, as the starting pitching has bailed out this entire team for much of the year. So it's just, look, they won 3 games against Cleveland. There's not much negative we're going to say when that happens. The concern certainly is that Cole Reagans and Michael Lorenzen have both left their starts due to injury in those 3 games, and that becomes a massive concern as you make your way through. But we'll see if either of those guys needs any time on the IL. So far, they don't, but you know, time will tell. They've got a little depth there. They'll be okay. They just got to get to the postseason healthy.
Well, and it's a fascinating thing to watch, because I just didn't see this coming. I don't think you saw this coming, but it sure is fun to watch.
When? I mean, I saw it. I've been on the train since about May 1st, but no, through the offseason, it would certainly be a best-case scenario.
It sure would, and that's the beautiful thing about baseball. By the way, you know, what's the best team? What's the best team in the American? Do you like the Yankees or the Orioles?
As the best team?
Yeah, best team.
Somebody asked me yesterday what I thought a World Series would be. I really haven't thought about that. I joked with them. I was like, oh, Royals and Brewers in the least watched World Series of all time. Because they said their answer was Yankees Dodgers in the most watched World Series. I was like, well, how about Royals Brewers? Give me that. Like, because I don't care about those major market teams or whatever. I don't know who I like out of the American League. I would tell you this. I don't like anybody definitively more than the Royals. And that's what's exciting to me. I think, and I've said this before, if the starting pitching is close to what it was early in the year, top to bottom, I think the Royals have the most complete roster.
Well, why not?
They have the most dangerous middle of the lineup. Right. They have the deepest starting rotation, and it looks like with Urcig now, they've got a plenty good back of the bullpen. Right. So, I mean, there's not anybody I'm looking at and saying, oh, yeah, I mean, there's probably... you know, on paper, better lineups, but the production, the proof is in the pudding.
Right.
They've been as productive as anyone.
Yeah, if you haven't checked the standings lately, if you're listening to this show, listen, the Royals are 3 games behind the New York Yankees, who's leading the Eastern Division, you know, with that killer 3-man beginning. I mean, you know, you got Soto, you got Judge, it's just an amazing lineup. 3 games back, Three back.
Yeah. And the Royals have a more productive middle of the lineup. That's okay. Right. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little KU football here. Shreyas Lattis, our KU insider, back on the program. First time for the new athletic season. We're very excited about that. Shreyas will join us on our video stream. If you're watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, or X, you'll hear him right here on KFH next. KU talk coming your way on Sports Daily right after this.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Lattis.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We've got our first visit this season with Shreyas Lattis, our KU insider. You'll find his work at the KC Star. We appreciate Shreyas being back in. Now, something that you'll have to know as we've moved your day to Wednesday, we have declared Wednesday Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Shreyas, you strike me as a man who owns a Hawaiian or two. Would that be a correct assumption?
More of a knitted polo kind of guy, but I think I have a Hawaiian or two in the inventory. I haven't worn a Hawaiian in a long time, but
we're joining on the fun. It's liberating. It's liberating. There's no better way to get through a Wednesday than that. How is everything going up there in Lawrence? We've got the excitement building now for what should be as exciting or hopeful a season as we've had in a generation for KU football.
Yeah, I think the excitement and kind of the hype around this team is probably the most it's been ever, I'd say. You know, maybe 2008. I can't tell you because I was, I think, 10 years old at that point. But, you know, I haven't seen this many people excited about Kansas football and the expectations of what Kansas football can be this year from the team to the fan base to the coaching staff to even guys like Travis Goff, et cetera. There's a lot of hype. And just being around the team, it feels very different than even last year felt. And last year they won 9 games. I mean, I was doing my, you know, game by game picks, and, you know, I've talked about it before, but, you know, they have the opportunity to kind of get close to being undefeated. I mean, that K-State game is the only real one that I think they won't be favored in.
That's a good place to start, Shreyas, the schedule. They got some good fortune, we think. Based on preseason expectations for all these teams, KU has the opportunity. They got good fortune in scheduling. How much, though, do you think that will change with the conference? Because, you know, the conference is going to be good top to bottom. I want to be optimistic about the schedule, but I want to be realistic, too, in that there's a decent chance some of the teams that get projected to the bottom are not, in fact, at the bottom. So, I mean, how much should KU fans even allow that to creep into the equation this year?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, even if some of these teams are better, I don't think anybody besides Kansas State has a definitive claim on being better than them overall. Yeah. You know, and I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, but even with Carter Stanley about this yesterday, like even with Kansas State, you know, they might be better on the offensive and defensive line positions. I'd say KU's skill positions, especially in the offensive end, and even the secondary is probably better or equal to Kansas State. So, you know, there's obviously going to be some teams that I think will be better than people project them. Iowa State always plays better than usually projected. West Virginia looks to be taking another step forward with the young running back duo they have. Those two games could be tricky. TCU, I don't know what to expect out of them. You know, they're 2 years removed from being national championship contenders. And, you know, last year they had a rough year because a lot of guys graduated. I think they'll take another step forward, even if they're not as good as that point. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, this Kansas team has continuity. They have 30 seniors returning from last year. They have, you know, a coaching staff that has been there for a while. There should be an expectation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That they go in as favorites, whether they're home or on the road, for every game this season except Kansas State.
You know, Sharias, Paul Savage here. Thanks for coming on today. We sure appreciate it. You know, one of the things that I would like to mention and get your opinion on is that over the last, let's say, 5 to 7 years, you know, physicality has always been a concern, particularly in the trenches for the University of Kansas on both sides of the ball. But I'm going to speak to you for a moment just about the offensive side of the football on the offensive line and the concern of how physical a football team. We watched Florida State football game, which Florida State was not near as physical up front as Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech ends up winning that football game. That's my concern with University of Kansas. Can you talk a little about just how improved physically, and I'm talking about getting off the ball, getting movement, you know, those kind of being able to pass set, all the things that you need to do as an offensive line. Talk about this group overall. Is it better? Is it more physical? That's my real question. Is this group more physical? You go to a place like Utah or wherever you go in this Big 12, you got to be physical.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think they've brought in Bryce Foster, Texas A&M. He's going to be the center of this group. You know, he had just 2 years ago, he was an all-freshman SEC player. You know, and that level of talent, former five-star coming to Kansas, in itself is a big deal. But the fact that they have that, you know, coming to replace Monk Nowinski, who was a really great center. But, you know, like Bryce Foster, talent-wise, he's just – kind of blows them out of the water. And everything I've heard about this team is they're bigger, they're faster, they're more stronger. The physicalities look really good during training camp. You know, obviously Donna Pooney left for the NFL. That's a left tackle position they have to fill. And I'm curious to see how Logan Brown does. And obviously Bryce Cable does on the right side. But just looking at where this Kansas team is, they look bigger than last year. Even guys, they look fitter than last year. Even guys who like, weren't necessarily the most known for being as fit as they are, guys like not Trevor Cardell, but Jared Casey, they've lost 10 to 15 pounds. Not to go fluff it up and say everyone's in the best shape of their lives, because everyone loves to say that every offseason, but they look as good as I've seen them in the 2 years I've been covering Kansas football.
Shreyas, look, it's all about Jalen Daniels. Like, these things are more important, but as far as the headline grabbing stuff, Tommy and I have disagreed throughout the offseason. I think it is very fair to question his health. Tommy is more, and Tommy's not here, so I'm speaking for him just a little bit, but he's of the belief that they say he's healthy. Coach says he's healthy. He says he's healthy. We should think he's healthy. I don't know how you can do that when you've seen the last couple of years. They are saying he's healthy. He will play in the opener, which is the best sign we could have gotten. But at what point do we let go of what we've seen in the past and just assume he's fully healthy? Have you seen him, talked to him, gotten any indication? Is the back better? I mean, it's a back injury.
Yeah, I think he's completely back to normal. We're as close to as you hope him to be. They're playing him like he is back to what he was once was. You know, he's talked about being ready. I mean, he talked about it, I think, in Big 12 media days, that if tomorrow I had a game, I could play right now. You know, like, and they were still kind of cautious at that point. You know, they weren't fully putting him back to everything. They've been very cautious with his back injury because, like you said, and we all know, this Kansas, the special season that Kansas hopes to have this year, hinges on Jalen's ability to play at least 9 to 10 games. Like, we haven't gotten Jalen a full season of football in any of the years he's played football. So that is a big thing to me that worries me with this Kansas team, is how dependent are you on the health of Jalen Daniels? And we all know they are dependent, but can you get by if he has to miss a few weeks here and there? You know, you want him out there for the majority of the season. Maybe it's not 12 games, 13 games, whatever, but you want him there for at least 9 or 10. And right now, the way they've handled the injury is cautious. They've been, I think, so cautious because they know how important he is. But it seems like he's doing everything back to normal. Lance is confident in, you know, who, what he's seen from Jalen. The coaching staff seems pretty happy and excited about him being out there and doing what he does best. And, you know, I think Jayhawk fans are going to be excited. I will say this, though. I don't think you can be out of the woods until we're done with the season. Like, I have to see Jalen Daniels be healthy for a full season before I sit there and tell you, yeah, I'm not worried about that. Because last year, the entire year, like, we were all, oh, he's going to come back, if something's going to happen. You know, like, it was a lot of different things that happened. Until that doesn't happen again, or until he can show that, hey, I'm going to be out there for 12 games. And he's a fantastic quarterback. We know when he plays. But the biggest thing is durability and the ability to not get injured. And he's been unfortunate on that end. And I think for Kansas fans, they have to ask themselves, be optimistic that he's healthy, and he is. But all remember the back of your mind, you know, that an injury for Jalen Daniels wouldn't necessarily be something that I'd be super surprised about, because he hasn't been healthy since he's come on campus. And I know they've done a really good job of trying to make him like almost like injury free and, you know, making sure that he's not going to have these kind of things like a back injury pop up again or some of the other stuff he's had. And I think he's definitely built to withstand some stuff better. You know, he looks like he's in great shape, you know, so I think that's a great, great sign.
You know, when you look at the schedule, of course, Lindenwood is the first game on the season. It's going to be hard to tell anything about this team, to be real truthful. I think you would probably agree with that. But then you have Illinois. I mean, Illinois is a football team that, you know, anymore with the portal, it's hard to tell what a team looks like and how it's shaping up and what it's becoming. But Illinois is going to be a really great test. But then you go UNLV, you go West Virginia, you go TCU, you go Arizona State. I'm not sure you're tested for a little while. What's the things that you want to see out of the first four or five games? Because they're the first four or five games, I think you would agree that those games are winnable. But what's the one thing you want to see out of this team to say, yeah, this is really a quality team. This is what we thought they would be. What do you need to see out of the first three, four, five games?
You know, I'm not worried about the skill positions on either side of the ball. I'm worried about the lines. I want to see on the defensive side, can they get to the quarterback? Every year, Kansas has had guys come out of nowhere. 2 years ago, it was Lonnie Phelps. Last year was Austin Booker. Who's the guy this year? Or is it going to be by committee? Oh. And if it's by committee, who's going to consistently get to the QB? Mm-hmm. And that's my question on the defensive end. And the offensive line is, can you keep Jalen Daniels healthy with this new look offensive line group? There's not as much continuity from last year. There's two new starters. There are guys who have left for the NFL. Dominic Pooney, as we've seen in the preseason, is a very, very good player. Can his replacements do as good or nearly as good as a job as what he was doing last year? That's my thing. If those things go well, I'm not worried about this Kansas football team. I think, you know, last year, looking at the games that they lost, they were all winnable. Not to say that some of the games that they won were also not losable. The Oklahoma game came down the last second, et cetera. But this Kansas team has continuity. They have, you know, a coach that's been there a while that's built a culture around this team. Now the question is, there's been guys that have left on both sides of the ball on the lines. Can they keep up what they've been doing the last year and the year before that?
Sri Islada joining us right now, KC Star, KU Hoops and football reporter. Of course, we've all got football on the mind right now. You can follow him on social media at SHRE98. Shreyas, I want to go back to quarterback for just a second because Jason Bean has been the safety blanket of this team. He was released by the Colts, unfortunately, yesterday. Hopefully he finds a landing spot after his really nice offseason. Mm-hmm. But he's not there. He's not in Lawrence anymore. He has been what has salvaged these seasons. What about if we are concerned, and I think it's fair, about the, you know, the availability of Jalen Daniels for every game? What about Ballard? Is Ballard taking the steps to provide them what they've had in Bean over the last? He flashed to me, and, you know, maybe there's baked in growth. How does he look to you, and what does the team expect of him?
You know, I think expectations are very high. The fact they didn't go out in the portal and pick up another quarterback, they said, hey, you are a former third-string walk-on. We think you're ready to be a backup. You know, he competed with Isaiah Marshall for the role, and that was a competition I heard. Like, you know, like both of them look really good during camp from everything the coaching staff said and just kind of what, you know, had kind of perspired. I mean, even talking to Lance at Big 12 Media Days, he talked about the leap Ballard has made in so many ways, right? Like the big thing for him was learning, hey, when do I throw the ball away instead of trying to make a hero ball play, you know? And he crosses that line between, you know, this incredible throw and like, you know, making a mistake. You know, there's a very delicate line. And Lance has talked about, you know, how he's learning to be better about that. And Isaiah Marshall, you know, the true freshman, I've heard really good things about him. He seems to be quite a standout. You know, like I think if you looked at where this quarterback room is compared to last year, I'd say it's even better. Maybe the top end talent, you know, maybe there isn't as maybe Ballard is not quite as good as what Bean is at this point. The fact that, you know, 1 through 3, though, that I think could all play college football games somewhere in the nation. You know, and I think that is a really valuable thing. And Ballard has had a good camp. You know, the coaching staff really, really likes him. Lance really, really likes him. And I think you can go in and do a lot of the same stuff that you were doing with Jalen with Ballard. Maybe you can't be as, you know, dual threat quarterbacky. You maybe you can't do some of the run stuff a little bit, but, you know, he can make the throws. And, you know, I remember talking to Jalen before Ballard ever even played a game. And he told me, he was like, man, that guy can play. You know, like, trust me, he can play. He can play. And that was before when Ballard was a third string walk-on. You know, like he talked, raved about him back then. So just like having that, you know, continuity from last year is big. And it seems like having the offseason for Ballard has been really, really, really big in getting into better shape, in playing in a more controlled environment, and having those that, you know, you get that chance to play against two Big 12 teams, you know, as a third string walk-on freshman. That's invaluable experience, I think, you know, that you don't necessarily always get.
And we hope there's a chance those backups can play against Lindenwood, because KU will get out to such a big lead, and Jalen Daniels looks fantastic. The game is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So we'll be ready for it. You know, we don't expect a test or anything for KU, but we do have some things we want to look at. And I think you've done a nice job of setting those up for us. So what else can we expect? What else can we find at the KC Star right now that you've got going?
Yeah, obviously I have my, you know, prediction stuff, some of the stuff from press conference, et cetera. I'm going to probably have later this week a kind of a small feature in Tabor Allen, who won the kicking job. Last 2 years, he was the place kicker. And, you know, he kind of opened up to me about how he's been waiting for an opportunity like this. And Lance talked about how he was the most consistent out of some of the guys they brought in, which I think is pretty cool. I'll have my film breakdown with former Kerry Rack, Carter Stanley, come out today. We just filmed it yesterday, just kind of talking about what KU needs to do. Just, you know, typical KU stuff. And tomorrow we'll have plenty of coverage, takeaways, and a post-game story too. And excited for the season start.
Real quick, who do you got winning the conference?
I have Kansas in the Big 12 championship game. Against? I don't know who they're facing in the Big 12 championship.
Oh, for God's sakes.
You know?
For God's sakes.
I think it's probably either Utah or Kansas State that they play in the Big 12 championship.
I think that's accurate. I think that could be.
Hey, let's all just sit here and wonder about the possibility of three games between Kansas and Kansas State this year. How about that?
Wow. How about that? Yeah, and let's Hawaiian shirts next time.
That's right, Sharius. Dig it out to go find
let's
one.
Go. Let's go.
Let's make it a thing. Join the movement here on Wednesdays. Help get you through the week. KU tomorrow, follow Sharius's work before, during, and after the game. You'll find it all at SHRE98. And of course, at the KC Star. Sharius, we appreciate it. Nice start to the season, and here we go.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Sharius Latta. Don't forget, we've got one giveaway for you going this hour. We're about to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Kevin Saul joining us. We'll get caught up on Shocker Athletics, get his take on some potential transfer changes as well. That's coming as we start the next hour. We'll have our Cody Jinx ticket giveaway in the next hour as well. Appreciate Sharius for stopping by for the first time. Good stuff there. You can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. Paul and I will be back with Kevin Saul. We'll return on Sports Daily.
Page. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
And welcome back into Sports Daily. Hour number two starts with our biweekly visit with Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul as we enter the fall sports season. We've had a volleyball exhibition, an exciting night at Coke Arena with K-State. Shockers didn't have it go their way, but we're playing exhibition games for a reason. We've got schedules out, non-conference schedules for men's and women's basketball. Does it feel like you guys are back in school? You're back in school, right? Students are on campus, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, guys. We just started classes on the 19th, so we're a week in, starting week two. And I can't believe you just said fall sports schedule. This feels like we finished up in May and the summer flew by, but a lot of great things going on this summer, and we look forward to a great year.
It's wild. How did the exhibition for volleyball go? It looked like a pretty exciting environment there. What did you think of what you saw there from not just the volleyball team, but from Shocker fans as well? A good buzz there?
Fans were awesome. We had, I think we were just pushing 3,000 in there, so it was a great atmosphere. Volume level was really good. Very, very competitive first set. I think we were up 19-15 and ended up that one slipped away. Close second set, 25-20, and then it got away from us in the third. But I thought we were really competitive. Coach Lamb played a lot of different combinations. Obviously, that's what you want to do in an exhibition game, and it was great competition. K-State's a good club, and seeing what our volleyball team does down in Kennesaw this week. They've got Kennesaw twice in Indiana on this morning, so be a good test this weekend.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see, you know, and a good crowd showed up for that exhibition game, and that's wonderful. I'm telling you right now, Wichita State volleyball is going to be a revenue producer for you before too long. But let me talk just a second about the basketball schedule for men. You just got her wrapped up. You want to fill anybody in that hasn't heard what the final additions are, and give me what you think is your highlight with regards to the men's basketball schedule that you just got wrapped up.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Paul, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about volleyball before. Really,
well, please.
Transparent, but it's about $2 million in terms of scholarships, annual operating. So we got a little ways to go to make $2 million and then get on the plus side of the revenue. But we'll continue to work at it really hard. I appreciate that there. Yeah, it's a great schedule. We look forward to some really intriguing matchups, I think. It's we released the non-conference schedule. We'll still have to wait. You guys know that this thing comes in phases. So we typically get into game times after TV makes their selection. So we anticipate a fully complete schedule with TV selections mid-September. But we'll start off with an exhibition state opponent, Emporia State. We start off on the road at a good Western Kentucky team. We played them to a really close game in Coke Arena. Catch-up. We come back home for a team that has been in the NCAA tournament, I think, three out of the last 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, in Montana State. We will then face a perennial Missouri Valley Conference foe, Northern Iowa, who typically has a great club. So that'd be a good match for us, and Monmouth. So you got a three-game set there in November, Montana State, Northern Iowa, and then Monmouth. We hit the road to the Duke Site Hall of Fame Classic that's put on by the National Association of Basketball Coaches in Kansas City. We'll play St. Louis. That's a top 100 team in the country. And then we go down to Florida for the multi-event. We'll play Minnesota on Thanksgiving Day, November 28th. And then depending on the results of the game, the next game we'll play either Florida or Wake Forest. So some really stiff competition there. You sprinkle in East Tennessee State, Kansas State. We feel like we've got a non-conference strength of this in the discussion for an at-large bid.
Yeah, and that's the goal, and we love seeing that. I can't wait to see this team get out there and take it. I assume still positive. I have felt in the conversations with anybody over there that it has been a really positive feeling. We're talking on the court here. of how this group is coming. They're, are they in full practice mode? What happens in August with them? I know they have the summer work and then they obviously get into their season, but what do August and September look like for the basketball teams?
Yeah, it's a great question. August and September, we get them for 8 hours a week. So typically you get 4 hours of skill instruction. You get 4 hours in the weight room. So they'll do, I think they basically do about 4 days, 45 minutes to an hour in the weight room. And then they'll get 4 hours of full team practice. And then sprinkled throughout there, you got small groups and individual work. So there's a lot going on right now. Those guys are working at it really hard. Women's basketball is in the same scenario, 7 hours per week. That roster has made some exciting transformations. And I think Shocker Nation will be pleasantly surprised with where a women's basketball program is as well.
Right. And, you know, one of the things also, you know, you're always constantly trying to raise funds. We just talked about volleyball, for instance. But, you know, baseball is one of those things that one of the things that people have enjoyed over the years is the annual scheduled October golf tournament. You got that coming up. And that's a chance to kind of rub elbows with players and coaches and staff and administrators in the athletic department. Talk a little about this golf classic coming up. And that money goes to sponsor baseball, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no question, Paul. I appreciate you asking that question. Friday, October 11th, we've got the Shocker Baseball Golf Tournament. We'll be out at Tallgrass. Great opportunity. A lot of alumni come back. Would encourage Shocker Nation to sign up for your foursome. You can get that done through the basketball office. You can go into GoShockers.com and sign up for that. But typically we'll have a lot of alumni back. Gene, Brent, the whole crew.
Oh.
Brian, staff have just done a remarkable job of embracing the history and tradition of the place, the alumni. And we're working on a couple really, really special items for that weekend that we hope to announce that weekend. It'll be really special for our baseball program. We've got some great momentum there, guys. You know, we've redone the outfield experience. We put a 16x60 deck out there. We've got $1.4 million in facility renovations that are ongoing currently. We're constructing a pitch performance lab down the first base line and that old second floor batting cage area. We're getting new lights, and all the blue seats down in the concourse are getting replaced there. So when you talk about from a revenue standpoint, Paul, there's no question that we have an opportunity to do some really nice things in both baseball and the sports that compete in Coke Arena, and we're trying to invest in those areas that can return on investment for our department.
Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us. Always appreciate the visits and always appreciate the insight. I don't know how much you've looked at this one, Kevin, without football, but some news in the ever-changing world of the NCAA and rules. There is a proposed transfer window rule change for, and I think this would affect football mostly. I don't know if it would affect the others. You can enlighten us on that. But it would eliminate the spring transfer window, and apparently there's a lot of momentum from coaches and administrators to do this. A, what does that mean anything outside of football? And B, should we be happy that these rules are evolving? I know it's been chaos, but we've always said there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Is this an example of that? And does this affect Wichita State at all?
Yeah, oh, it absolutely does. I don't think that the transfer portal is going away, Jacob. And from that perspective, I think we need to embrace that as a reality. What we do need to do is find a balance in the middle that coaches an opportunity to recruit. When the transfer portal rules first came out and you had multiple windows per year, and some of them were butted up right next to the start of an academic year, and it really made it difficult for our coaches just to simply replace roster spots, much less with really talented individuals. So what you're seeing is a streamlining of the quantity of windows that are open during the year, and then even the time span. The original windows by sport were 45 days. There's some legislation out there to approve a 30-day window, which seems to be more than fair. So obviously we want to provide the opportunities for student athletes, but we've also got to balance the needs of programs and coaches that are trying to build programs.
All right, Kevin. Well, look, we know that you guys are busy. We know that volleyball's coming. Picked second in the AAC preseason poll that came out earlier this week. If you need a reason to be excited about a big what we expect to be a big Shocker volleyball season. Get out there and support them. Volleyball is a blast, especially when it's really high level volleyball. Lots of stuff going. You can go to goshockers.com and find all the info on that golf tournament that Paul and Kevin mentioned on volleyball, everything else. Kevin, enjoy being back to school. I can't help say those words and not think of Billy Madison and the song. We won't make you sing it, but I know you know it.
The three of us could probably do a pretty good rendition of that.
We could. And we're going to get you. So here's the other thing, Kevin. We'll get you a video link for some of these visits. And on Wednesdays, Paul has started a movement, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, to let everybody know that you're ready for a party. I'm sure you've got some Shocker Hawaiians, so be ready with that in a couple of weeks.
We'll get you in here
on a Wednesday.
I have to warn your ratings because I've got a face made for radio for sure.
That's okay. We're sitting across from Paul Savage.
That's
here.
Right. And Paul, me too. Me too.
All right. Kevin, be good. Enjoy being back in school, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, guys. Go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. We will get him involved on some of the video stuff there. A little bit choppy on the connection there. No problem. I think we got the info we needed. And yeah, that's what I assumed would be, you know, hey, look, we talk Paul all the time on these transfer points. Everyone thinks it's chaos. It can be chaotic, but it will get better, right? Like there will be an end game in all of this, and it'll be good. It is very chaotic to get there, but things like that will be, you know, the things that get things manageable.
Yeah. Do you like it? Do you like what your proposal?
Sure. I like anything.
I mean, I think
creates,
I kind of like
I
this
like
better.
Anything that creates stability.
Bingo.
But
that's right.
But does not take the athlete's rights away.
Correct. And thank you. That is
limited.
Said.
You know, getting more organized on when you can do certain things is just fine. That doesn't take anything
good.
Away. It helps everybody have a better understanding. Don't ever,
right,
you know, have a misconception. Athletes are taken advantage of in this stuff all the time too. I think some of these things can help them. All right, we're going to come back. We'll continue to take a look at the Chiefs roster decisions. We'll get you ready for a Royals game today. Two of the big lightning rods of this, you know, summer have been Prime in Colorado, Paul, mm-hmm, and Jerry Jones for the Cowboys.
Right, boy, you're not a kidding.
But both continue to be in the news. We can discuss some of the latest things there.
Oh, please, let's do.
Jerry Jones goes on a profanity-laden justification for his job being his job and all the fun. But we got a lot to come here in the second hour. We want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for providing us great coffee each and every morning here at KFH and all across our Odyssey family. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. Back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We've been talking a lot of football, getting ready for KU, getting Chiefs roster news, all the football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's set up our concert giveaway for the second hour today. Don't miss out on your chance to see Cody Jenks at Intrust Bank Arena on November 23rd. All you got to do to take your shot at some tickets is text the keyword Cody, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We come back in, and Paul, let's dig back into the Chiefs roster. Talked about this right off the top of the show. The Chiefs are 1 week and 1 day away from playing the Baltimore Ravens.
All right.
I think as we... If you missed the conversation in the early hours, a couple of things. They kept 7 wide receivers. Kadarius Toney is not one of them. That was the most headline grabbing of things. I don't know if Juju Smith-Schuster took his spot directly. I had surmised it was less about that for Juju and more about the Chiefs just making the decision if they wanted Toney's, I don't know, gadget ability to be a part of the team. And clearly they do not, and they're ready to move on, and that's just fine. But they do keep 7 receivers, which feels a little interesting considering they traded for Juju. I thought when they had Juju, they may only go with 6, because really, Paul, what you've got is you've got your three projected starters when Hollywood's back in Rashee Rice, the rookie first rounder, Xavier Worthy, who's had a really nice camp and preseason, and then Hollywood Brown. And then you've got Justin Watson essentially to back all of those players up. They go and they add Juju, who could back some of those players up, but certainly give you the experience. And then it was like, okay, what do they do? Do they keep Tony? Do they keep Mecole Hardman? Well, they're keeping Hardman, but they also keep Sky Moore. I don't know if that tells us they just don't want to give up on Sky Moore yet. I don't know if they think he's a valuable part of the special teams. I think the special teams equation, Paul, when we see, you know, maybe like Lucas Niang go and some of these other guys carry maybe an extra player, do you think if you're the Chiefs, I mean, you've been a part of these meetings, if you're the Chiefs and you've got tough decisions, are special teams a bigger part of those decisions now than ever before with the new kickoff rules where you're just trying to make special teams a weapon again?
I'm thinking that it is, because now you're starting to see some of these kickoffs returned and a set of different rules where, you know, you've got a field of football and it's not automatically just, you know, running down there and running through the end zone. So yeah, you're exactly right. There is now the possibility to turning, you know, a good return man into an offensive
weapon. Not even just a return man, too, either, right? You've got to defend the kickoff.
That's right.
Is one part of it. And just good, you know, we've seen special teams players be impactful over the years.
Right.
It seems like there's a bigger opportunity for those guys to be on the roster, maybe rather than carry a ninth. Let's use the Chiefs as an example here, because they have, they ended up keeping 10 offensive linemen. So maybe instead of keeping 11 offensive linemen, right, you keep 10 and you add one other player somewhere else that you feel like could be a difference maker on special teams specifically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't help you with anything else, maybe, yeah. but it has become this third unit. Other thing I wonder when I see this 53-man roster, all these things, I wonder with these changes, let's say the league falls in absolute love with the new kickoff rules, which I think is a decent possibility.
I do.
What if you expand the regular season to 18 games, which seems like it's a matter of when and not if.
It will. That's right.
I would guess that we see rosters expanded beyond 53 players relatively soon, because now you've got two things happening. You've got potentially another game to account for. And if you're going to make special teams this big of an emphasis, which clearly they are, allow teams to have, you know, special team specific guys. Like, you know, you spend your entire year preparing. You know, you've got offense, you've got defense, and you have a true special teams, mm-hmm. where you have specialists who that's what they, you know, train and get ready to do is to make that unit a weapon for a team.
Well,
I would bet we see that number grow in the next two or three.
Well, I'm not quite sure that would be the case, partly because, you know, special teams is traditionally in the NFL in particular has been one of those things with guys that run. In other words, you know, if you're an offensive back, if you're a defensive back, if you're a fairly well-running linebacker, you fill rosters with position players. I mean, if what you're saying is that there's going to be a man or an individual that makes a NFL roster because he's a great cover guy, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that'll be. He's going to be able to play. He will be instrumental in what position that he plays. And there's so many guys out there that are really good football players by a position, but can also, you know, run and cover.
But
and,
couldn't
and
special
bust
teams
their butts.
Be a position? I
no.
guess that's the
no.
crux of the matter.
No.
Like outside of just return man.
No. No, I don't think.
You know, well, the Patriots did it with Slater all those years, and he was a weapon for them.
Well,
on that, you know, in those, it was Bill Bates. You remember Bill Bates for the Cowboys?
Gosh, yes, he was a guy that, you know, tracked people down. I mean, he was one of those guys.
But he was just special teams whiz.
But he was also
a weapon for them.
But he was also a good. I think wasn't he a safety? I believe he was a.
I don't know. He never played.
Well, that's not exactly true, but I mean, he was a good football player.
He was a great football player, just great on special teams.
Well, but that's right. But I mean, the point is that he does have ability to play out of position. I don't know that football will ever get to that point. I don't think they'll ever have the luxury. I don't think the NFL owners would ever say to themselves, well, let's go ahead and add four or five guys to a roster, and let's go ahead and all they have to do is cover punts and cover kickoffs, or block for punts and block for kickoffs. playoffs or that kind of thing. I just don't. The only true specialty people are going to be punters and
kickers.
A really
long time for the Cowboys after 1988. And he had a great 1988. He had 124 tackles. He had 50 tackles one time and never sniffed it after that. Like, he was a special teams guy for, I don't know, it felt like a decade for the Cowboys. And it was a valuable part of what made mm-hmm. them really good. Mm-hmm. I just, again, it will take loving the new kickoff for something like that to happen or not, or teams just decide they want to prioritize that and they don't want to carry extra players who may not be able to help them on special teams. Because if you make, I mean, Paul, field position's everything in football, right?
It is.
If you can everything. If you can bring in a couple of whizzes to help you gain 30 yards of field position in a positive manner on either side throughout every game, like that could make a big impact. I don't know. The Chiefs will be the team that tries it. And I'll tell you that. Like, they emphasize special teams. Clearly they have. Mm-hmm. I just won't be surprised if a guy like Sky Moore doesn't ever really see the field as a part of an offensive package.
Yeah.
And is just like, is a special teams guy.
Mm. Well, what you're setting up, basically, you know what you're going to see more than anything, if a team's given up 30 yards of kickoffs or whatever the case might be, you're going to see a new special teams coach. That's what you're going to see. You're not going to see necessarily new players. You're going to see another guy who can get these guys motivated, give these guys the technique they want. And there is technique, believe it. There's technique running down and you know, taking on blockers. There's a lot of technique in it, and you're going to get a new special teams coach. If the scenario you're talking about, teams giving up 20, 30 yards on kickoff more than somebody else, they're going to have
course of a game.
Yeah, one way or the other. Yeah, they're going to have a new specials team coach. That's what's going to happen. I'm just not sure that we're going to ever see, because of injuries, it's such a big part of the game of football. Injuries, nicks, you know, those kind of things, whether they're season ending or whether maybe you just need to get ice on it, it's still such a big part of the game. That's all I'm saying, Jacob, is that I don't think there'll ever
be a rabbit hole. Yeah, it's a rabbit hole that we went down. But there were a few things that made me wonder about it. They're going to carry four tight ends. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that one of those four guys is going to be a special team.
Maybe two specialists. Yeah, maybe
right.
So.
I also wonder, speaking of tight ends, because they make the trade for Peyton Hendershot, kind of surprised people because they drafted the young tight end, Jared Wiley, who by all accounts, they're pretty excited about. Noah Gray's the experience. And then, of course, you have Kelsey, no Blake Bell this year. They're carrying four, though. Is that in any way an indicator? And I'm not speculating this. I would, in fact, say it's probably not, but it might be. Any chance that's an indication they plan to give Travis Kelce a little more time off within games? I know people are – here's why I asked this question. I know people are getting ready for fantasy football drafts. Are they going to pull back on Kelce's role just a little bit to preserve him in his advanced age now to get him into the postseason and healthy by then? I think there is a chance of it. I'm not sure I would say that I believe it because we've never seen it before with Travis Kelce, but he has said a lot of things this offseason about how he needs to do it better, how he feels it a little more. Now he needs to, preserving his body is becoming a bigger part of what he needs to do, where, forever he's just kind of been Mr. Football. Get out there. You better not take me off the field ever. We remember the arguments and things on the sidelines.
Yes, we do.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does not play as many snaps throughout the regular season as he normally might. Obviously not going to be in a passing situation, but if it's, if you're going to run the ball and you're going to run the ball, maybe Kelce gets a snap off, and you don't want to give any tells to the defense, obviously, but carrying four, look, the Chiefs have carried four in the past. It's not surprising that they're carrying four tight ends. It's a little surprising to me, though, when they drafted the rookie they like and they had Noah Gray with the experience, that they went out and traded for another tight end. Clearly, it was a goal to have four tight ends. They cut Irv Smith. I think that there's a pretty good chance Kelce gets a little more time off throughout the regular season than he normally would.
Well, sure. There comes that point. I mean, he is now over 30, and there comes that point where your body, it takes a beating, and in his position, I mean, he's taken his share of shots, hadn't he? So that's easily said, and I think you might be onto something. I hadn't really looked at the fact that four tight ends mean that, you know, means that they're going to start relieving him, or they're going to pick their series and that kind of thing. That's an interesting thing. My question is, do you need four tight ends? I don't know if you need four because, it's just hard to say, but it might be best athlete available too. I mean, that might be an athlete that they want on their team. Peyton Hendershot might be that one guy. I don't know, but you're right. You have an all-star in Travis Kelce, and maybe you're going to try to make him last. You're not going to wear him down. It's a long, long NFL football season, and it's only going to get longer. It may get longer before Kelce retires. It may be 18 games. I'm not going to be shocked if it turns out to be 20 at some point 10 years from now. I don't.
It's not going to be 20. They'll
get to 18. Did you ever think it would be 18? Did you ever really think it would be 18?
Sure. I've always thought they might cut the preseason and add regular season games instead. Absolutely.
Well, they could cut some preseasons right now and still get to 20 playing the same amount of games.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Look, if you want the Chiefs roster, it's out there. We're not going to dig into the ninth string offensive lineman with you here. I'd be talking out of my rear end if I tried to do that.
Yes.
But, you know, Lucas Niang not making the team was a bit of a surprise to me. But you can find those. You can also go back and listen to our discussion from the first hour on the Odyssey app. Paul, a couple other things I want to get to before we take a look at tonight, this afternoon's game for the Royals in our next segment. Jerry Jones defiantly defending his position as the general manager of the Cowboys. It's funny, this outcome with CeeDee Lamb was so predictable that you had two sides on this. CeeDee Lamb wanted to be the highest paid and get over Justin Jefferson. The Cowboys didn't want him to get over Justin Jefferson. He didn't get over Justin Jefferson. So Jerry Jones is taking this heat of why did this take so long? I don't know how much of that was on Jones and how much on CeeDee Lamb. I know that Jones got what he wanted at the end of the day. You know, a lot of drama and a lot of distractions and all these other things that come along with it, but he got what he wanted as the GM, and then he defends himself, which he does a lot of now lately, that he's the guy and the buck stops with him and all that stuff. Look, he's also the guy that said they're going all in this year, and they absolutely are not because they haven't done anything to change the team from a year ago. In fact, they've gotten worse. What do you make of all of this? How much longer is Jerry going to be able to sell that? Not that anybody's any threat to him, but he did get what he wanted in this CeeDee Lamb situation. He didn't want to make him the highest paid. CeeDee Lamb didn't become the highest paid. Is that a good job by Jerry Jones, even though, you know, it took missing camp to get there?
Yeah. Congratulations, Jerry. You signed him for 36. All he needed was 37, and he would have been tied. So there you go. I mean, it's almost like a hollow victory. It's like saying, yeah, I won. But it wasn't by much, was it? I mean, basically, CeeDee Lamb got everything he wanted, $36 million a year. He's now the second highest non-quarterback player in the NFL. That's pretty good company. If that's where...
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Jerry Jones is right at this point with regards to this is what's going to make me happy. Well, congratulations. I guess you're now happy, but it was $36 million. I don't know what the financial victory in that is. Who doesn't want CeeDee Lamb back? I mean, come on. I mean, it would be very, very difficult to replace a CeeDee Lamb. And, of course, Dak is next on the agenda. He'll probably get signed. I think everything will get taken care of.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know, because here's the thing. CD Lamb wants him back. There's a lot of people that want him back.
Yeah.
I think deep down Jerry wants him back. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong. Hadn't he said I want him back? I believe.
Sure, he wants him this year.
I think he has said that.
Let's say Savage gets to make the decision. The Cowboys, I use the term all the time, are in purgatory and have been for a long, long time. They're not doing anything to make themselves better. They're sort of just treading water, and they'll probably win 10-plus games again this year, and they'll probably get bounced in their first playoff game again this year. At some point, you have to make a longer-term decision on Dak. If it were me, and I have already given Dak the big contract, I am very annoyed that this is coming back up now. Like, we've already been through this, Dak. We did this song and dance. You got a massive contract. Play your dang contract out. And I think that's what the Cowboys ultimately, just play this year. If you come out and light the world on fire and we win a bunch of games, we'll reset the market with you again. Congratulations. If you don't, it's probably time to do something different and to blow this thing up.
Right.
I don't think the Cowboys have any problem letting Dak Prescott play this season out on the deal he's on. I don't think that they have any intention of giving him another new contract, and I don't think they will. And Dak's not going to hold out. Dak will go out and play. He'll play for his deal. I think he's made that relatively clear too. So I would bet you that nothing changes about Dak Prescott's contract. CeeDee Lamb was different. CeeDee Lamb was following the market trend, right? It was time for him to get his deal based on what we've seen throughout the league, and he clearly deserves it, and he did. That was following the market trend. That's why nobody ever doubted that his deal would get done. If I'm the Cowboys, I do not extend Dak Prescott right now. It makes no sense to me. Play your contract out. If you earn it this year and you think you deserve a new deal, go earn it, because we're paying you a boatload of money now. We've already done this with you. You getting a new deal does not help the Cowboys win a Super Bowl. It further hamstrings them against the cap.
Right.
And if that's the road he wants to take, you got to just let him take it.
Right. And when he takes that road, I mean, there's a lot of positive things that could happen with that. You have a good year.
Absolutely. He goes and wins a Super Bowl, and then you pay him a bunch of money. Gosh. Who cares?
How much you going to make? It's going to be a whole lot more.
Joe Flacco did this. You remember that, Paul? And guess what? He got paid.
Yeah, that's right.
He went out and won a Super Bowl.
It's going to be more money than CeeDee Lamb by a long shot. We know that for sure. So you're exactly right. However, I'm not sure that Dak has that mindset right now that says, I don't want to be trying out. I don't want to be that guy. I'm Dak Prescott, for God's sakes. You know, look at me.
If you're the Cowboys brass, Paul, who cares? Who cares?
He's gonna play. I mean, that's right. I mean, we've seen a guy like a Mike Trout, you know, do the same thing in baseball. We've seen it in basketball. We've seen it in all kinds of sports where you see these guys and they're going to play that 1 year that they've got left, and boom, it explodes on them, doesn't it? I mean, they have a great year. That's where Dak is right this moment. Play it out. Be great. Lead your team. Get them to where they need to go. I'll tell you what, this world will open up. Jerry Jones,
yeah, he'll
a big
sign
kiss on the cheek
and
grab his wallet and pull it out and pay you. That's what will happen.
Let's jump to the IHOP hotline here, 869-1240. Anthony on the line. Anthony, what's up, man? How are you?
Man, I am delirious because I worked to the 6 last night. Now I'm working 7 to 11. So you guys are my cup of joe right about now.
There you go.
And I've been listening to your show. You had me want to talk about KU football in the Big 12. Then you had me want to talk about Shocker Athletics. And now you're talking my topic, the Dallas Cowboys. And I already even did a Twitch.tv segment on Jerry Jones and his profanity lace. You know, nobody can do his job. And, you know, when he came into the league, they was having meetings and they didn't have no money, and he was influential. So, you know, he has some influence in the league as far as marketing and making money. But as far as saying no one can do his job, well, I don't even know if he can do his job. But, you know, this thing with CeeDee Lamb, maybe we've seen it coming because that's been the trend. Go back to the 90s with Emmitt Smith. it lasted two games into the season and an 0-2 start, to the point the players had to go ahead, force Jerry's hand and say, why don't you just give Emmitt what he deserved? Because look at us now. You go back to 2016, 2017, Ezekiel Elliott, right up to like the week of the season. Now, you talk about if Dak goes out now, and Dak improved over last year, because last year you said he was going to only throw, what, like 9 interceptions?
Dak was good last year, but Dak's under contract, Anthony. Dak's already got his big deal.
But now here's the deal. If he plays out his contract, and let's hypothetically say he gets him to the Super Bowl, you guys are forgetting to mention one thing, and this is where it gets dicey. Dak gets him to – probably don't even have to win it, but he gets him to the Super Bowl. Now he wants that new contract. Where does that leave Micah Parsons?
He already wants the new contract. You'd prioritize Dak because you always prioritize quarterback. And that would suck for Micah Parsons. I don't know if Jerry can get all three deals done. We'll see how good of a GM he is if he can get all three deals done. But the reality is, if you gave Dak a new deal today, okay, just think about being in, not even like trying to become Jerry Jones, just become a general manager. Dak Prescott's already on a big deal. If you give Dak a new contract today, you will basically reset the quarterback market with Dak. That's what you would do. Okay. If you wait until after this season to do the same thing, guess what you're going to do? Reset the quarterback market. There is absolutely no incentive for Dallas to do this deal now. He's going to have to reset the market to take the deal anyway. Why would you do it now?
And to the point, I believe that's why come Jerry did the deal with CeeDee Lamb, because check this out. Here's something that a lot of people aren't talking about either. If CeeDee Lamb played out his contract, guess what? Chances are he resets the wide receiver market next year. So Jerry gets this deal done, and he's like, we're going to wait and see what Dak does and see if he resets the market next year. But you also have to throw this into consideration, too. How long has Dak been in the league? How old will Dak be? And will he outplay his years on that contract? You got to take that into consideration, because at some point, everybody's not going to be a Tom Brady and play till they're 75 years old.
Dak's not. I mean, Dak's not going to do that. But
you have to look,
Dak
you have
has been to fine. Dak has been good. Like, he's, you know, he has a playoff problem. He's only 31 years old. It's not that Dak shouldn't be paid that way. For me, he already is paid that way, though. CeeDee Lamb was not. CeeDee Lamb was still on a rookie deal. Two very, very different. Micah Parsons still on a rookie deal. Their grievances are very different than Dak's grievance. Their grievances are, hey, the market tells us it's time for us to be paid. Dak already did that once. We got to go wait. Like, he's already gone through that process and he got paid. So if I'm the person in Jerry Jones's seat, I'm like, dude, we've already done this. We're not doing that right now. Go play this year. We'll reset the market with you. Everybody knows what that deal looks like. Because the quarterback market is outside of the Deshaun Watson fiasco. It's very predictable. If you're due up for a contract and you're good in this league, you reset the market almost always. At least if you're in the conversation where Dak Prescott is, you're going to go in and he's going to reset the market. But that's going to happen at the end of the season or at the beginning of the season. So why would you do it before you have to? There's no incentive for the Cowboys to do that. What is Dak going to walk as a free agent if the Cowboys have a great offer on the table? He's not going to do that.
Right.
If the Cowboys make him a great offer after the season, he's not walking and going somewhere else.
Jefferson set the market.
Now let's play this devil's advocate. Now, if they have another bust in the playoffs, do they let Dak go? Because
are you asking Jerry, me, the Cowboys
Jerry,
fan?
Because, right.
Yes.
Jerry is not. You know, he's not obligated now after that. Because based on his playoff performance, why should we pay him? So where does he end up going?
Correct.
I've heard places like this. Dak could end up in Pittsburgh. That'd probably be an ideal spot. Or he could end up with the Raiders. So having said that, I'm going to hang up and listen at your comments, and you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Anthony. We appreciate it.
Dak could absolutely walk, but if he's not good enough to help the Cowboys win a Super Bowl, why is he there? Yeah. He might help somebody else win a Super Bowl. That's great. This isn't a knock on Dak's ability or anything else. He had a really nice year last year. It's a knock on the logistics and the business of it. It does not make any sense. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense for the Cowboys to do that now versus at the end of the season. The contract will be the same whenever they do it. Why would you do it now? Let him play it out. If it doesn't work again, the right decision at that point is going to be to do something else.
Right. Well, it could make Dak a heck of a lot more money if he has a pretty good year. I mean, we're talking...
Nah, he's going to reset the market.
Yeah,
he would.
I mean,
that's just what quarterbacks do. All right, 869-1240. We appreciate the call to the IHOP hotline there from Anthony. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on our last full segment here. Don't go away.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Paul, you know, Crestview Country Club could help with the Hawaiian movement. They've got a pro shop there attached to the golf short with all kinds of great clothes, basically. A lot of golf stuff. But I have a couple of Hawaiian-themed golf shirts that I've gotten that I might incorporate into our Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays.
That counts.
We know about the golf. We know about the food, the pool, the tennis, all that great stuff we tell you about here as they're great supporters of the program. Mm-hmm. That pro shop can help on the Hawaiian shirt. If you need a good Hawaiian, a high quality Hawaiian theme shirt, you can get over to Crestview and check out their golf shop to join the movement.
Good.
All right. You've got our giveaways here real quick, Paul, on the Royals tonight. It should be fun because it's, again, we keep saying house money. You've taken three straight. Boy, that sweep would feel good. You've got Waka. He's been the best of the starters lately, in my opinion. He's on the mound against Tanner Bibee, who's one of their better guys. Hey, look, you have another chance. Think they can get a sweep? They were plus money yesterday. It paid off. They're plus money again today at +130. There you go. If you think the Royals can complete the sweep, Bibee's been good. I will say that he's probably their most dangerous starter, at least in the conversation for it. So it'll be tough for the Royals today, but it's a noon game after a late night last night. And then they got to, you know, get out of Cleveland, but boy, it'd feel nice if they get a sweep here.
Oh, it's just spectacular. I mean, the fact that, you know, you get a win this afternoon and you're at the top of your division. Are you kidding me? I did not see that coming. I was hopeful for the obviously for the playoff berth, for the wild card. But, man, this is just amazing. This makes you want to sit up and take notice. As a matter of fact, I may just flip on that Royals game. I think I will be around a TV where I will be. I'm going to see if I can get the Royals game on. I'm going to try to get it on. Absolutely.
Paul, most of us have been listening or watching the Royals every game of the year. We're getting you on board here. Real quick, you sent me a list, Paul. What game are you most excited to watch this weekend? I'll take a guess.
Yes.
I'll guess that it's Notre Dame, A&M, but there's that one. There's Clemson, Georgia. There's SCLSU, and there's Miami, Florida.
How did you know? I feel guilty because I want Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Two halves, not two have-nots, two halves. And I want to watch them play this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good one. I think both teams will have something to prove to live up to the preseason hype a little bit. So I'm with you on that, but there's some really, really good. I think Georgia's going to smoke Clemson.
I do too.
I think LSU's probably going to smoke USC, but I think A&M, Notre Dame could be really good.
Florida, Miami, are we previewing too much? Florida, what do you got on that?
I don't care.
You don't care?
Miami. Okay. No. Miami probably, but that one doesn't move the needle for me too much.
All right.
All right. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on it. We'll tell you all the listening details for the Royals today next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.